Let's lift up Jesus again in this place. How you guys doing? It's good to see everybody. My name is Andre. I'm one of the pastors here at New Life. We're going to wrap up our Roots series today, okay? How many of you guys have been blessed by our Roots series the past month? It's been incredible. It's been super awesome. It's a life-changing series. I believe this is one of the most touching, life-changing series that pastors ever delivered here at New Life, and we're just glad we get to be a part of it. We talked about the root of rejection. We talked about, the root of religion. If you say amen louder than your neighbor, then you feel more spiritual. You feel more holy. So, you know, when there's a good point, you can say amen. If you say it louder than your neighbor, then God loves you more, okay? So, he got it. Well, bless the Lord. We talked about bitter roots. That hit home for me. You are not a human being. You are a zombie or a cyborg or a robot or something if you have never been bitter in your life. Amen to that. That's just the truth. Bitterness is such a tool of the devil that is maybe not so loud and upfront, but it's subtle. It's in there. It's in your heart, and it could just ruin your day. Sometimes when you see somebody maybe that you're bitter at and God hasn't healed your heart, you see them and you just wince. You start to look bitter. Your face shows bitterness. I mean, I have stories about that. I probably won't get into that today. I don't want to go there. I'm asking the Lord to heal me from those types of situations, so we won't get into that. If you want to call today's message, if you want to name it something, it's going to be called A Church Full of Trees, okay? A church full of trees, like not some certain kinds of trees that grow. We're not talking about weed today, let's just say, okay? Some of y'all are like, man, I love this message already. When are we going to pass the peace? There is one provided for you underneath the seat in front of you. I'm kidding. There is not. So don't go. Some of y'all bend down. Okay. Don't do that. That's awkward. But so it's called A Church Full of Trees. And get your Bibles out. Who's got a Bible? Just a disclaimer. We're going to put it on the screen. I have an NIV, but we're going to do NLT. But it's almost like the same thing. So no worries. So get your Bibles out, and we're going to go to the book of Psalms, and it's going to be in chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. This is like super popular. Like if you're like super churchy and you grew up in the church, you like know this verse by heart, right? I remember my dad, well, all of me, my brothers and my sister, he used to make us memorize verses like one a week, and we'd have to memorize them, and we'd have to recite them to him, and it was terrible, and I thought it was very oppressive and slavery-like, but hey, it built us up. So let's read in Psalms chapter 1. We're just going to read verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water. So there's that tree thing. Which yields fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. So there's another scripture that I want to read that coincides with Psalms chapter 1. It's actually in Jeremiah 17 verses 7 through 8. I'm just going to read off of the screen because that's better. So we're like reading the same thing. Let's read that. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Now the Bible likens us to trees as we read. There are different shapes and sizes of trees. How many of y'all know? There are tall trees. There are short trees. Like surprisingly, like I look at you and like, how are you that short? Don't throw stones yet. Put them down. Stone me before I get done with this message. But there are some fat trees out there. There are some skinny trees out there. There are trees that produce fruits. And there are trees that don't produce fruits. So the Bible uses trees as a metaphor. So think of, just for today, I know it's like trippy, but just for today, Think of yourself as a tree. What kind of tree are you? Are you a pretty looking tree? Are you an ugly tree? Some trees smell good. Some trees do not smell good. Turn to your neighbor and say, thank you for smelling good today. Okay, now turn to your second choice and look at him and say, this is just awkward, so I ain't going to say anything. See, you know, they're your second choice. Why did you look there first? And, you know, tell your neighbor, say, don't be mad. Here's the thing. I'm in a tree business. I love trees. It's fitting that we talk about trees, but there's this tree. Well, there might be two kind of trees. All you tree people out there know, cottonwoods and poplars. When you cut cottonwoods, have anyone ever cut a cottonwood tree down? All right. Hey, man. Well, bless the Lord. We got about six people in here. All right. Cottonwoods stink bad. Thank you, Alvin. Bad to the bone. Cottonwoods stink like eggs. Okay. Have you ever like hard boiled an egg? I love them. I eat them just like I eat snacks, but they don't smell that good sometimes. When you cut a cottonwood tree, you think, I swear, there's some hard-boiled eggs around. And here's the thing about cottonwood trees. They like to kind of, I say, pee all over you. Like when you cut them in the springtime, when the trees and the leaves are coming out, they'll actually release water. And it's just water from the tree that the roots stored up. And when you get it on your hands, you're going to smell for like 5 days. My wife absolutely hates when I cut cottonwood trees down because I come home, she doesn't even have to say it. I come home, you know, hey, honey, what's up? I take, my clothes and whatnot. And what's that smell? You cut that darn tree again, did you? So I can't touch my wife for like 5 days after that because my hands stink. It's just bad, all right? So it's good to smell good. That's just a spiritual nugget out there. Amen, especially in church. But listen, here's just something I wrote down. If God made you an apple tree, why are you trying to be an orange tree? No two trees are the same. That's the truth. There's no such thing as the exact same tree. So if God made you an apple tree, why are you trying to be an orange tree? For some of y'all out there, something to think about. The most important parts, I believe, and science concurs with me, of a tree are its roots. All right? So the roots of the tree are the most important part. No matter how good it's good to have a strong trunk. It's good to have good leaves. You know, photosynthesis, where the sun shines on the leaves and they make food and blah, 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 and all that stuff. But the roots are the most important parts of a tree. And actually, we're going to read here. It says, in order to be blessed, or the Good News translation actually says, in order to be happy. Happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Bible gives us three things to avoid, okay? So just if you're going to take notes, I won't be long, I promise. Three things you can jot down. So three things the Bible gives us, three things to avoid. Number one, reject the advice of evil people. Okay, number one, reject the advice of evil people. Happy is a man, Bible says, who rejects the advice of evil people. I've said this before a while ago, and I find it so funny. Isn't it funny how bad advice is always free? I mean, isn't that the truth? Bad advice is always free. You got to pay for good advice. You got to pay for a good consultation, but bad advice is always free. You don't ask for bad advice. Bad advice just gets you. You're walking, you know, throughout your day or at work, you just get some bad advice from some really negative, stingy, mean person. They didn't ask you for it. They just told you. Well, I think this. I think this. Well, I think this. Well, the Lord says this, 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 and that. Mm-hmm. You didn't ask him for it, but they gave it to you. Bad advice is always free. Now, good advice is what you have to seek. And isn't it funny how the Bible even says, blessed are those who reject evil advice. So that means evil advice is always coming at you. Evil advice, bad counsel, worldly counsel is always shooting at you 10 different ways to Sunday, every day of the week. But blessed or happy, the Bible actually says, are those who reject it. So newsflash for y'all, bad advice is going to come. People are just going to be negative, and they're going to bring a bad report into your life, and they want you to be negative with them because it's not fun being negative alone. It's only cool if everyone else is negative and y'all have a negative party, okay? So bad advice, blessed or happy are those who reject bad advice. Number two, do not follow. Amen. Number two, thank you, four. We're up to four now. I'm going to do this all day. Number two. Happy are those who do not follow the example of sinners. I'm not even going to preach on that, okay? Blessed or happy are those who do not follow the example of sinners. And number three, blessed or happy are those who don't join those who have no use for God. Okay? So what are you saying, Andre? You saying I can't have friends? No, I'm saying you can have friends. It's okay to have friends. Jesus actually was called the friend of sinners. But it's not okay to have fellowship, a deep, intimate relationship, fellowship with the world. We can be friends with people in the world. We love to bring them to Jesus. Amen? That's our goal. That's our commission. But when we take friendship another notch, we take it up a notch to fellowship, then it becomes dicey. Okay? So remember, we are not of the world. We are in the world. Okay? Just because we're in it doesn't mean we have to be of it. Amen? So instead, let's jump to verse 2. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. The law of the Lord is the word of God, right? The law of the Lord is the word of God. So blessed, happy are those who love the word of God, who read the word of God, who delight in it, who are like, man, I can't wait to read the word of God today. I know y'all haven't said that in a while, but that's just sometimes how you feel. You know, you have your ups and downs, but happy are those who delight in the word of God. If we follow those three guidelines, which pretty much Psalms chapter 1 just laid out for us, verse 3 says, he is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Isn't that cool? How cool is the word of God? How cool is that promise? How cool would it to be whatever you do prosper? How cool is that? You can't get any better than that. Now, here's the correlation between the water. Jesus is the living water. Like that video we just watched, John chapter 4, 14. But those who drink the water I give them will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. So imagine, blessed are those, happy are those who love the word of God, love the law of the Lord. They're like a tree. So we're all trees here, planted by the streams, by the river. So whenever a drought comes, whenever hardship comes, you're always drawing from the river of life that is only in Jesus. So it don't matter what your circumstances are. So it doesn't matter what your surroundings are. If you are the right kind of tree, planted in the right kind of place, you're going to prosper. You're going to be blessed no matter what. Now, the Bible even says hard times will come. The Bible openly says there might be a year even of drought. But it says, in essence, Jesus, I got your back. It says, Jesus, he's got you covered. And I love that promise that the word gives us today. I want you guys to look at something. Can we put that image up of that tree? I got a picture of a tree online that I found. Okay, so let's take a look at that. Okay. Is this anyone's house, by the way? Okay, good. All right. So obviously there's something going on over here. It's kind of hard to tell, but if you guys just look closely, if you look, the tree itself doesn't look like it's too bad of shape. It looks like the leaves on it are pretty green, right? Looks like the branches are, you know, for the most part, fairly intact, right? The trunk even looks good. But where's the problem? Come on, say roots. So the roots is the problem. It looks like there may be some sort of decaying going on in those roots. You see where it's broken? I find it funny that, well, actually, there's even a saw right there. See this other tree standing right next to it? It's standing there. How come that tree didn't get blown over? Maybe it had good roots. Just saying. So even though you might be one of those trees that, and we all, I preach this to myself before I preach this to you, so don't get me wrong. Even though sometimes we feel like, man, we're good. We're a good-looking tree. We're, you know, we got good branches. We're green. We're leafing and waving in the sun, and life is good. What's the situation of our roots? The thing that people cannot see. See, when you look at a tree, all you can see is the fruit of the tree. The tree above ground is all you can see. You can't see what's going on below ground. God can. God always sees what's going on in our hearts. And if there's something that we need to work out, he'll lead us to it. I want to say something. We're going to talk about some real growth right here. I like dentistry. Like, if there's any dentists in here, bless you. I love you. No offense. But, like, I just don't like dentist stuff. I think it's gross, like, dealing with teeth and stuff. How many of y'all had a root canal before? All right. Got some bad teeth. Kidding. Hey, I had like three or something, so don't get, that's eating candy and too much pop. But if you've had a root canal, and even if you don't have a root canal, you know what it's like. Especially if you had it, it ain't comfortable. It's painful because what happens is the root canal is basically designed to take out diseased, damaged roots from the tooth in order for the tooth to live. So the dentists are always wanting to save. You're in a dentist's office, so you know. You should be preaching this. So the dentists say they want to save the tooth. And I believe them. I'm just kidding. They do. They want to save the tooth. But if there is rotting going on inside that tooth, first of all, it hurts like a son of a Baptist. But it's not comfortable. If there's rotting going on and they can see that in the x-rays, what they're going to do is, hey, we can probably save the tooth, but we got to get in there and do a root canal. It means we're going to take out the dead, nasty stuff. And that is not comfortable. And sometimes God does that, guys. Sometimes there's stuff in our life. Everybody has it, so don't act like you're just the perfect one. Every single person has this stuff in their life where you can't see it on the outside. Your neighbor can't see it, but it's deep down inside, and you have things that are not of God that you know that you're holding on to that are rotting you from the inside. And the Bible says, just look at that picture of that tree. We got to get rid of that stuff. We got to make sure we're rooted in Jesus and his love, because when there is a storm coming, and a storm will come, are we going to be prepared for it? Are we going to be anchored? Amen. We're getting there. So I want to ask y'all today, what is the foundation that your life is built upon? Or should I even say, who is the foundation that your life is built upon today? One more thing before we get moving into the Bible, I want to say about getting advice is, like, I just wrote this down. I said, as a Christian, getting advice or counsel from the world instead of the Word is like taking your Mercedes-Benz in for service at a bicycle shop. Why would you do that? You don't take your Mercedes-Benz into the Honda dealer to get service. No offense to those, John and Duane. Hondas, I have a Honda. But my wife has a Honda. It's my wife's. I'm sorry. But you don't do that. You take the creator, the original, you take it back to the original creator. Whatever God has created, you take it back there. You don't take it to some place that does not know the balance and, I don't know, car stuff of the car. You take it back where it was built. You don't take it to a bicycle shop because they don't deal with that. So that's why getting advice, seeking advice, worldly advice is just not smart. If you're a believer and if you love Jesus, let's move on. Psalms 121, verses 1 and 2 says, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So that's where we look for help. That's where we look for counsel. That's where we look for advice. The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So I want to ask you today, are you growing where you're planted? Physically speaking, financially speaking, vocationally speaking, churchly speaking, are you growing where you're planted? So are you thriving or are you just surviving? Ever talk to somebody you haven't seen in a while and say, hey, what's up, man? How's it going? It's good to see you, man. So, you know, how you been? You know, what's good? Well, I'm just surviving, you know? You got to pray for them. I've said that before. I'm guilty of that sometimes, but I got convicted. Am I just surviving or am I thriving? Jesus doesn't want us to just survive. He wants us to thrive in life. He wants us to thrive in our marriages. He wants us to thrive in our, you know, in our jobs. And he wants us to thrive so people can see the love of Christ in us when we go out and we can bring him to the Lord if they need that. So let's be thriving and not just surviving. Because remember, good roots equal good fruits. One person. Good roots equal good. Amen. What are good fruits? I think Pastor Alex actually mentioned this before in one of the series, but Galatians chapter 5, what are the fruits of the Spirit? Some of y'all know this by heart. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So if we are a tree, we are to have every single one of those fruits, not just some fruits. Let's not focus on one fruit or two fruits. Let's focus on all of them. It's so important to be planted in a Bible-believing Spirit-filled church, like New Life. I'm biased. I love New Life. But, you know, I've just seen this. I grew up kind of around the church scene. You know, my dad was the choir director at our church, and you've been to church ever since. But it's so important to be planted in a church, because I've seen people that didn't really fully get planted, and they uproot themselves. Notice, it wasn't anyone. It was, you do it to yourself. You uproot yourself. You get offended easily, maybe at somebody, and you know, well, church ain't for me, you know. I know sometimes you got to work things out, but it's so important to be planted in a church because you can grow there. Here's the thing, for y'all believers out there, I want to talk about church hopping, okay? I'm going to break it down for you real quick, and then my rant will be over. You got to stop church hopping. If you're church hopping, if you're always going from church to church to church to church to church to church, you're never going to grow. I'm sorry, but that's just the honest truth. I've witnessed that with my own life. If you're doing that all the time, you are never going to grow. Have you ever planted a young tree, let's say? Let's say you plant it over here one day, and then you get sick of it being over here. You uproot it, you plant it over there one day, and you get sick of it being over there. You uproot it again, and you plant it over here. What happens to that tree eventually? And that's right. How many times can you keep uprooting something that wants to take root, that wants to be planted firmly somewhere? And actually, the interesting part is, when a tree gets mature enough to a certain point, that one more extra time that you uproot it could be its last. Some trees will never make it. It just takes that one more time. When you pull it out, it's going to die. You keep watering it. You keep singing to it and playing guitar and, you know, praying, whatever. There's nothing you can do because it's been uprooted way too many times. The roots take damage. So don't be offended if the pastor didn't shake your hand after the service. It happens sometimes. Busy guy, you got to talk to everybody. You know, don't be offended if the pastor don't want to baptize your dog. All right? Just no. Don't be offended if the worship pastor does not want to sing your song that you recommended to him on Sunday. 10,000 reasons for my heart to sing. Listen, here's the thing about being uprooted and hopping all the time. Let's say you want to get a haircut, right? You don't know anybody that can cut your hair. You don't trust your wife to cut your hair. You know, you just don't know. You just don't have connections with someone that can cut your hair for free. You're not going to go 2 years looking around for a barber to cut your hair. If you want your hair cut, you go and cut your hair, right? If your car needs service, you're not going to go 2 years looking for a mechanic to work on your car. You go to a mechanic. You find a mechanic. You get service done. If you don't like it, that's totally fine. Move on. Go to the next guy. You know, you don't go 2 years looking for groceries. You need to eat. Man's got to eat. So that's the danger in hopping all the time and being uprooted. Like I talked to this one person. I haven't seen him in a while. It's been a few years. And I say, hey, you know, what's up? It's good to see you. So how are you? You know, how's your family? How's everything? Oh, good. You know, so you guys enjoying life? You guys planted in a church somewhere? Oh, and they're like, oh, you know, we're still looking. I didn't say it, but I thought to myself, really? It's been like 3 years. And you still looking? Don't get me wrong. It's okay to look. It's okay. God wants you to be planted somewhere. Find a church that you love, a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church. But you get rooted somewhere because you're going to grow. You cannot grow if you're not rooted. Let's move on. One last thing. Preachers say this all the time. They say, if you find the perfect church, don't join it because you just screw it up. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is for you. Because the reality is, guys, the church does not change people. Jesus changes people. That's the word. I'm so thankful for my parents. Like I said, ever since I could remember, my dad's the choir director. We were what we called church rats. You know how they call gym rats, that people just always go to the gym? Like, you always find them at the gym. Like, rats almost live in there. But we were what we call church rats. We're always at church because, you know, our parents was always at church. It could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing. We're not going to preach about that bad side of it, just the good side of it today. But I'm so thankful, man. They gave me such a good example. And, you know, I like to think out I turned out all right. I'm not perfect by any means. So, you know, don't look at me with a funny eye. But my brothers, I look at my brothers and sisters, you know, they love the Lord. They're still serving him today. And that makes me happy. You know, our family, we just love Jesus. As for me, my house, the Bible says we will serve the Lord. And so I'm thankful for their example. Like, we got our Johnny. He's going to be 4 here in June. He watches us like a hawk. Kids, when you get kids, those of you that don't have kids yet, you'll know what we're talking about when you get there. But when you have kids, kids watch your behavior. They watch what you say. They regurgitate what you say. He's like a little talkback radio. You know, we're sitting there one time, and then he says this one word, and we're like, where'd you hear that, buddy? I look at my wife. I say, I didn't say that. Did you say that? And she says, no, it's probably daycare or something like that. But they watch you like a hawk. They watch where you're rooted. They see what your foundation is. You instill, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, you instill the foundation in your children when they grow up. He's threatened me with jail time when I put him in timeout already. I don't know where he knows what jail is, but, you know, it's not going to be funny as he gets older. It's just going to be really dangerous, so I got to tell him to stop talking about jail. But like I said, I don't know where he gets that from. He says, Daddy, you're going to jail, Dad. Child services jokes are not funny. Couples, quickly, and we're going to get finished up here. Brooks, I'm going to need you to play some real emotional stuff right now, man. It's only going to be cool if it's emotional, all right? To set it up. You got this, bro. Couples, what is your marriage rooted in? Is it like we just got done talking about sex and intimacy and you know, the two-week series? Those were amazing. I love those. I was blessed so much by that. Pastor Alex and Tanya were out here sharing and stuff. But what is your marriage rooted in? Is it love? Is it honesty? Is it respect? Is it forgiveness? Is it rooted in the Word of God? Is your marriage rooted in the Word of God? Did you and your spouse, or your girlfriend for that matter, is it rooted in the Word of God? Are you equally yoked? If it's rooted just in looks, then you're in trouble. What is your job or your business rooted in? Is it honesty? Is it loyalty? Is it hard work? What is your facial expression when you come to work like? Do you look like you just... Sometimes we look like we just sucked on a lemon for breakfast when we come to work. Don't talk to me. I haven't had my coffee yet. Get away from me. You know? Like, I'm not a big coffee drinker, so I don't understand that. I mean, I've been guilty to come to work looking negative sometimes. You know, the Lord has been working on that with me. But can we look good? Can we look encouraged? Can we look happy? Can we look like, man, this is a great day to be alive. This is another day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You know? Even if you got to fake it. Fake it till you make it is what they say. Be encouraging, because you never know. What if someone wants to talk to you and you look like the devil? And they don't want to talk to you and you look like that. Are you a blessing or a burden to your employer or your business? Are you a blessing or are you a burden? Let's jump back to Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. In there it says, "It has no worries in a year of drought." So isn't that crazy? Even the Bible says there might even be a year of drought. So everybody here, we all go through times and seasons, okay? No matter how good and how firm you're planted in, everybody goes through a time and a season. People go through hard times, guys. The reality is everybody goes through a hard time. Everybody goes through a dark time. Maybe some of you here today are going through a tough time in your life. Maybe you're going through a tough time, you know, with your finances. Maybe your marriage is going through a tough time. Maybe your relationships with maybe one of your family members or all your family members is just not where it wants to be and where it should be. Bible doesn't promise us to be perfect and sunshine and 70 degree weather every day. It even says, it goes before and says there will be a season of drought in your life. But if you are that tree that is planted by the waters, the living waters that only Jesus Christ can supply you with, you're going to make it. You're going to get through it. You're going to get through it. The Word of God promises you will get through it. I love Psalm 23, like the most famous psalm. Even if you're not a believer, you probably know this psalm. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me by still waters and through green pastures," it says. It says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Maybe some of y'all are walking through the valley of the shadow of death today. Hey, maybe you've been there. Come on, it's true. Maybe you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I have a word of encouragement for you. Keep walking. The Bible says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," it does not say, "Even though I set up a tent in a camp out in the valley of the shadow of death." The Bible says walk. So listen, if you're going through a hard time today, I want to encourage you to walk. You're going to get through it. You will get through it. If you rely on Jesus, the cornerstone, the living word, the true river of life, you're going to get through it today. Tell your neighbor, say, "You're going to get through it." And like, do a serious face and say, "You're going to get through it." Okay, that didn't work. Now tell them, say, "You needed that." Tell your second choice, say, "Stop looking at me." I want to ask you guys, are you confident in what you can do, or are you confident in what Jesus has already done for you? Can we have the lights right now? Just real quick, we're going to do a house check. Brooks, can you play Cornerstone? I want to read the verses. I want to read that chorus. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. So if you guys could just close your eyes real quick, just bow your heads, just do a quick house check. Maybe there's somebody here that, man, you're hearing the word of God maybe for the first time or second or third time in your life, but you've never really given your life to Jesus, and you want to know more about Jesus, more about His love, His compassion, His grace for your life. Your heart's beating right now, kind of a million miles an hour, it seems like. And that's God speaking. That's the Holy Spirit moving in your heart. And He wants you. He wants all of you. He wants you to live a new life for Him. And the promise that the Word of God is that when we repent of our sins, when we confess our sins, God is good to forgive them to us. And we can start a new life. We can have a fresh start today. So just real simple. I'm going to count to three. If there's anybody in the house that you feel like you want to surrender to Jesus finally today, you can just raise your hand after I count to three, and we'll pray for you. We're not going to embarrass you, make you come up. It's going to be real simple. We love you. One, two, three. Is there anybody in the house today? Any hands in the house today that want to receive Jesus? Amen. Amen. Awesome. This is good. It's good day to be here in church. Let's pray real quick. Father, I thank You, Lord, for just moving in this place, God. It's so good to be in the house, God. It's so good to be rooted and planted, God, in Your Word, Father. Even though hard times come, and they will come, like Your Word says, You will. You're faithful to bring us through those droughts and those rough seasons and those dry patches if we're fully rooted and planted in You. So we thank You, God, for being such a good God. We thank You for opening and unveiling Your Word to us today, God, as we worship You. In Jesus' name, help us be rooted in You even more, God. I know it's something that we can say lightly and joke about, God, but I just pray, Lord, that You give us that passion and that burden to be rooted fully in You. So whatever comes, we know that You're on our side, that You're for us, and You're not against us, God, and we're going to get through. We can get through anything. Just like Your Word says, God, that we can do all things through Christ, who is our strength. In Jesus' name, we give You honor and glory today. God's people shouted. Come on, let's bless Jesus today. Come on.